The late time does not enable me to cushion what has to be said now properly. I believe that I am the youngest one yet to be talking about this very big subject. Youngest one yet, meaning in this misgaret, here in the shul, Sushabov. And I've been here with holes for more than 10 years in the Tishabov. And earlier on, it was not addressed by people who Mamish could, from a much closer place, talk about it. The fact that I'm the youngest one yet, and which is very much bringing home what's often discussed, that we're moving on in history, really steps up the urgency to respond to the call, to reiterate the call of the Holocaust, and to respond to it properly. What is the response to the Holocaust? So the ignorant response would be never again. Because the understanding is that since Jews didn't have their act together, such a thing could happen. Now that we do, we can ensure that it will never happen again. If we understand quite who orchestrated the Holocaust, are we going to wave our fist toward Hashem and say never again? Now, this is really something that deserves more time, but in this shul, I've heard the Rav address this subject a number of times. It is not a new concept for us to say that we can understand Hashem's ways when it comes to these things. Rav Avigdor Miller put it very, very harshly when he said that to say, this is something only I can't say, but I can quote, that to just say we can't understand Hashem's ways is a formula that's providing room for apikorsis. Because Hashem made it very, very clear the way He operates. The Holocaust was the culmination of an unprecedented period of history of abandonment of Torah and Yiddishkeit. There's no getting around that. And the Holocaust came from Berlin, which was where that abandonment originated. And there's no getting around that either. And Moshe Chochma talked about this before it happened. Now, don't you do it. It's just, if this is the first time you're hearing this, it'll take time to absorb, and I don't expect you to agree. What is the call of Isa? We aren't planning on abandoning Torah and Yiddishkeit. What is the call for us? What is the call for us? So, Rabbi Avigdor Miller spoke about it in a scary way. The question is, if it was taka because of the state of abandonment of Torah and Yiddishkeit in those days, so what's better now? Did we really reach a situation where the percentages are that much greater? And on the one hand, the scary answer to that is not necessarily, and therefore, this is what he used to yell, Rav Shach used to yell this, he yelled it about America, Rav Shach yelled this here, it can happen again. It can happen again. It couldn't happen in Germany either. It couldn't happen in Germany either. It was inconceivable in Germany. And it isn't any less inconceivable, as sacrilegious as that might sound. Rabbi Avigdor Miller said it can happen in America. Rav Shach said it can happen here. Now that's demoralizing and harsh. But what is really the point? What's the call for us? Are we going to go and change the... Are we going to be Makarev? Whatever percent the lion's share of Yiddishkeit of Yidden that are too far away? Here we have to understand a fundamental yesod. It's really a metzudis on Mishlei. The famous pasuk begins, "Beroy v'am hadras melech," and the pasuk continues, "Be'miut la'ayim be'efes la'ayim nechitas rozim." "Beroy v'am hadras melech" means that when there's quantity, that itself is the glory of the king. When he has millions of people serving him, but when there isn't, when you have only a small amount of people, where is the glory of the king? The glory of the king is b'mechitas la'ayim. It's a twist on the Pashat Pshat. It's in the fear, meaning in the intensity of the dedication to him. We don't know the cheshbonis and exactly how it balances out, but there is a concept of quality replacing quantity. Rav Dessler brings out this point about Tisha B'Av Bichlal, that, and I'll repeat a short story from the Kloisenberg Rebbe, that he was at one point during the Holocaust, together with a dying Jew, who had been apparently something like the president of the Bank of Austria. His name was signed on the bills, and he was dying, and he told the Klausenberger Rebbe how he was married to a non-Jewish woman, and she actually turned him in. Nobody knew that he was a Jew anymore. So the Klausenberger Rebbe, to this man, his last moment, said to him, "Don't you see how stupid you are?" And he's really bringing home how your life was one big dream, etc. And the man said to him, "Why do you need to be telling me this in my final moments?" And the Klausenberger Rebbe said to him, "Because once I can get you, I'm working fast now, I want to hop around before you go. Once I can get you to acknowledge how nothing it all was, then you're at the threshold of tshuva and you can regain the entire olam." A big purpose of this is to make us feel how precarious existence on olam hazeh is. That's the purpose of Churban. That's one of the purposes of Churban. That's the leading to the next step. The realization that life in this world is not something that can be relied on, it's something precarious that can disappear at any moment. This, on the one hand, will cause a person to just become demoralized. But on the other hand, it can, if a person's sensitivities are right, which the assumption is that Jews' sensitivities are right, once he really reaches this point, his next step is, "So my existence is Hashem. My existence is Hashem. Oymar laHashem machzi." And therefore, on the contrary, I don't feel myself as having my feet placed in olam hazeh correctly, and I'm going to put all my efforts into the appreciation that every moment of life, I don't need to live for a long time in order to make my existence worth it. And chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. If we were to assume, and let's not assume that, but the assumption might be what prevents it, that we're on the threshold of another such event, at the threshold. Then, chas v'shalom, to assume that, the approach of the understanding that, well, if we have another day to live, there's an awful lot that can be accomplished to make our existence worthwhile. It isn't depressing at all, but on the contrary, it's motivating. This is really the step that's expected and the step that can prevent it from happening again. Let's come away from Tisha B'Av with this determination, and adrabah. That's why Tisha B'Av can be, Rav Dessler points out, many of the Kabbalim actually say, Tisha B'Av will directly lead us into the Yemei Tshuva, to Elul, and from there to the great Simcha of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. The real Simcha will come through the understanding that adrabah, we've removed our focus on our existence in Olam Hazeh. We're focusing it on connecting with Hashem. And then we can come back and actually enjoy Olam Hazeh from that perspective. And Bezos Hashem, Hayom Ma'ele Yehavchu, L'Sosen U'L'Simcha.